Christina Dammerman and Debbie Capito. So ladies, put it on your calendar. I know you got a folder on the way in the door, so grab your pen, write a note, pull out your phone. This is the one time you can use phone in the service. Write it down, and then shut your ringers off, and shut Tetris off, and shut off whatever else you play while I'm speaking. But you can use it for notes, I guess. All right. So ladies, don't forget. Also, before we let the kids go, the kids aren't going today because really we're in the park. This just looks like a building. So there is no Sunday school today because this is service in the park Sunday. And I need to know if there's anyone that needs baptized today or would like to be baptized. We're supposed to be doing that in the river. I had some scheduled for that and they have since canceled, so I have none that I'm aware of. So before I go any further, does anyone need baptized today in the river? It's got to be 58 degrees in there. Come on, I was really looking forward to getting in. All right. Well, we're not going to release the kids. But I just want to say a big thanks to everyone that has helped out with the emergency relief. You guys have done an awesome job, and not only those of us gathered here, but people from all over the valley, different churches, community members. It's been a huge collaborative effort by our community. God, of course, saw before us, saw what was going to happen, gave us the finances to build this building that we thought we were building for kids and classrooms, which really now is a super Walmart. We didn't know that, but he did. He said, I'm going to have it in place and have you ready to be able to facilitate the needs of my people of the Clearwater Valley. But anyway, yeah, give yourselves a hand. But the real point I was getting at is some of the emergency relief teams that go around the world and do this for an occupation year long, every year, year after year. They came here and said, wow, we have never seen organization like this. We have never seen people work together like this in all of our history of doing what we do with the Red Cross, which you know is a huge national relief organization. Why do you suppose that is? Peace? Jesus. I don't hear very well. Jesus, peace, they're like the same thing. But yeah, Jesus. Jesus working through us, so I just thank you guys for your efforts, for the time. I know a lot of you took time off work, took time out of your jobs, took time out of your vacations, spent time here with us at the Life Center helping take donations and wire new lights that didn't yet exist and wire new fans and stack goods and move goods. And the list goes on and on, but thank you very much. Your efforts have helped our community, our valley. So thank you, and thank you. We have a U-Haul truck, Kari says, that needs emptied after church. So just back your vehicles up to that U-Haul and take whatever you want. We have been trying for 2 weeks now to tell people stop bringing stuff. They said, we can get more semi-trailers and fill them. It's like, we don't want more semi-trailers. We've got plenty. So yes. If you can help afterwards, and if you want to eat at the potluck, get a hamburger hot dog, you have to unload items. Is that how that's working? No, it's not working that way. Please stay, have a hamburger and hot dog afterwards. Please enjoy that. I've got to head out right afterwards. I have a baby dedication down in Lapway this afternoon, so you won't get to watch me eat a hamburger and get ketchup and mustard on my shirt. I apologize for that. Awesome, Mackenzie. Anyways, let's open with a word of prayer before I stick my foot any further in my mouth. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that we can be gathered here today. God, that you have provided this great facility for us. God, to minister your word to your people, God. Father, to be a resource. Father, an outlet to give life back into our community. Father, we just thank you. And God, we ask that you would multiply back into the lives of those who have so freely given. God, your grace, your blessing, and your provision into their lives and their families, Lord God. Father, we just thank you. And God, I ask today as the word is spoken, God, that you would open the ears of the hearer, God, to receive what you would have for them as an individual today, Lord God. And Father, that that seed would be planted, Father, in fertile soil inside of their lives. God, that it would begin to grow and develop. And God, that it would transform into a fruitful product, God, bearing forth much glory for your name. God, ministering to those around them, Father, in the Clearwater Valley. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're on our finding series. We're finding lots of new things. You see stuff on the hillside you didn't see before the fire. It's like, I didn't know there was an old truck parked there. Now there's just a pile of burnt metal, but I didn't know that was there before. Today we're finding forgiveness. How many of you need forgiveness? You don't have to raise your hand, but everyone should raise their hand for that one. Finding forgiveness. How many of you need to give forgiveness? Ouch. My hand's up again. Most of us probably need to give a little forgiveness and receive a little forgiveness. So in the giving and receiving of forgiveness, forgiveness is what? It's the canceling of a debt owed to you. I'm going to cancel the debt owed to me by whoever it is. Or I'm going to ask God, hey, I'm a sinner. I've screwed up, God, again. It's me, Arby, again. But I've screwed up again, God. Would you forgive me? Would you cancel my debt with the blood of Jesus and make me whole again? So you're either asking or giving. Asking God for it, which we really need, because without his forgiveness, we can't get to heaven. Or we're giving it to someone else that needs it from us, someone who's caused offense into our lives against us. So we're going to look at a verse in Matthew 6. You can turn there with me if you like. Even on your phone, as long as that's all you're doing. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch. Now, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, are withholding forgiveness to someone? Someone you're holding and they have a debt against you, and you're not going to let them go until they pay it all. Because as we read the Word of God, it says if we don't forgive them, God can't forgive us. And we know that God is faithful to forgive and he's just. So he's just waiting on us to do our part to give forgiveness to whoever it is in our life that we're holding that offense against and not allowing forgiveness to flow. Because one misconception about forgiveness is, well, if I forgive them, then it didn't matter. That's not true. Forgiveness is, I release you of the liabilities I have against you. I forgive you because I'm making a choice today to not let this issue, this offense, run my life any longer. Yes, it matters. And yes, it hurt. And yes, it's going to continue hurting. But today, I choose to forgive you. I choose to release you of all debt you owe to me. You're free to go. And when we do that in our lives, God says, wow, now I can show you real forgiveness, Arby. I'm not only going to forgive you, but I'm going to let you have salvation and enter into my kingdom as an heir and inherit the kingdom of God for all eternity. That's super forgiveness. Not only am I going to let you go, Arby, but I'm going to bring you to my kingdom and let you share in the plunder. How many people are you withholding forgiveness from? You can do just a mental inventory. You don't have to shout out names or numbers. I remember a point in my life when I was in school, there was this kid that picked on me ruthlessly for 5 or 6 years, junior high, high school. I hated him. He was mean. He would stuff me in lockers, stuff me in trash cans, beat me with broomsticks. One year we were on a baseball team together and he threw my mitt in the river at high water. I did not like this person. And at some point in my life, I thought, you know, I don't have anything against anyone. I've forgiven everyone. But I hadn't seen this kid in about 8 or 10 years, and he walked in the room one day, and my first reaction was, you didn't grow up after high school, and I did. I'm going to come put a whooping on you. I got a can of something to open up. And then I saw these four letters in front of me, W. W, J, D. What would Jesus do? I said, probably not go thump him. So I withdrew. I didn't talk to him. But I withdrew, and it took me a while. I realized I had some bitterness wrapped up inside of me toward this individual. And though it was hidden, hadn't seen him in years, and it was kind of far removed, when he showed up again, it was there, and it was real. And there was no denying it. And I had never chosen to forgive him of what he had done. But I then did, because God started talking to me and said, see, you thought you were perfect? You're not. He often tells me that. I don't know about you guys. But. So I had to work through the process of forgiving this guy. And now he's a Facebook friend. I mean, we don't hang out and have coffee or anything, but I'm a little bit engaged in his life. I see how his wife and kids are doing, how he's doing. But before that, I wouldn't have known that. I would have thought I was happy with everyone in the world and I wasn't angry at anyone. I had no unforgiveness in my life until God revealed that to me through a weird encounter of running into him at a store. And it was instantly back what I was holding against him. And God said, you need to deal with this. Somebody's phone's on. I heard that. I don't hear well, and I heard that. Pretty sure it was Bear Claw. I saw some smoke. He still does smoke signals, so his phone lines have been jammed up for a few weeks. Woo! I'm just going to stop right there. That was a home run if I ever saw one. All right, back into the Word. I had better quit. So we must forgive others for God to forgive us. And sometimes we have to say, God, search me. If you read the Psalms, David constantly said, search me, O God. Show me the error of my way. Show me what I need to clean up in my life. God, I want to be right with you. And if that means getting right with people, I want to get right with people so I can be right with you. How often do you come before God and say, God, search me? Or is it always, God, help me? God, help me. I'm in a mess again. I've screwed up again. Help me. Instead of saying, help me, say, God, search me. Show me what I'm doing that got me into this mess. Don't just get me out of it. But show me the error of my ways so I don't fall into it again. Show me so that I am an overcomer of it, that I don't continue down the same path time and time and time again. And if we think about an offense coming against us, think of it as a trap. Because the Word of God tells us that the enemy of our souls sets traps and snares in our path. To what? To trap us and to ensnare us. It's all right here in His Word. He warns us of this. But He also tells us, my Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So as long as we're adhering to the Word of God in our lives, we have an illuminated path before us. And we walk along, oh, There's a trap, sidestep, perfect, wonderful. There's a snare, spin move. I'm out of it. But pretty soon we're walking along and, well, it's Monday and, you know, I had a rough weekend, so I'm not going to get up early and read my Bible. Now, Pastor Kelly will do the Bible reading, put something on Facebook. It'll be good. It'll be fine. It's Tuesday. Oh, my goodness. Monday was a killer at work. I'm not going to get up Monday early and read the Word of God. Pastor Kelly will post something. It's fine. Pretty soon Wednesday comes along. And we're still not. And pretty soon our path goes dark. And we can't see where we're going because we're not applying the Word of God to our lives and to our situations. And we're stumbling and bumbling around in the dark. And when we don't have the Word of God actively working within us, it's just dark. We can't see where we're going. So we step into a trap. And I don't know if y'all have been around traps much, but initially a trap does very little damage. A leg trap snaps closed and it puts some uncomfortable pressure and hurts a bit, but it doesn't do a lot of damage. I've taken many dogs out of traps. Or a snare, it just pulls tight and stops you in motion and doesn't do much damage. All the damage done in a trap is done by the person or animal in it. You begin flailing and twisting and jumping, and if you're in a snare, it gets tighter and tighter and tighter until you can't breathe, and it stops you dead in your tracks. No one pulled it tight on you. You did it all by yourself. And some leg hold traps, which I've taken many dogs out of these, and they just go clamp, and they just can't get out, and it's uncomfortable, but if they don't move or wiggle or jump, they're not in bad shape. But pretty soon they begin to panic, and they begin to let that initial offense or that initial strike against them begin to bother them and churn in them. And pretty soon they start to turn and twist and twist and turn and pull and tear. And pretty soon the skin starts to separate and the ligaments and sometimes even the bone breaks. And sometimes they even get so upset with the offense that they chew their own leg off. Chew it off. Some of you have harbored an offense in your lives and you've been trapped by it. And you have sat there and pondered it and thought about it and meditated on it. And you've let it eat you alive until you yourself are chewing your own leg off. No one else has done anything since that original offense. It's all been you since then. And you say, God, why? But why me? But why me, God? He says, if you would just sit still when you get in that initial offense and seek my face and seek my word, I will come rescue you. I will come to your aid. Read, what does my word say about that? I will deliver you. I will restore you. Many dogs that I've known very well, they're lovey, licky. I mean, they'll lick you to death before anything happens. When they get in a trap, they become a completely different animal. Anyone comes near me, I bite them. And I don't stop with one. I bite, I bite, I bite, I bite, I bite. Don't touch me. Some of you are the same way. You get one offense. And now, well, Pastor Arby offended me, so the whole church sucks. Everyone's that a Christian is horrible. I hate them all. Christians are nothing but hypocrites. They're just seeking to hurt us and destroy us. They're evil. They're vile. And we begin broadcasting this and spreading it everywhere. Rather than dealing with the offense, saying, hey, Pastor Arby, you know, last week when we were talking, you said this to me. And I don't know if I misunderstood you. Perhaps I did, but this is how I took it. And if you know me, I would never intentionally offend you. That's not my heart. That's not my desire toward you. If you know anything about God, His heart and desire for you is love and restoration. He doesn't want to offend you. He doesn't want to hurt you. But some people would take that initial offense and say, well, if God would allow this to happen to me, How can he be a good God? Clearly, he's evil too. And we begin twisting and turning in our own trap and in our own snare until we're suffocated and the life is gone from us. And we're just an empty vessel wandering blindly in the darkness. And we're still in our trap. Somebody still has to set us free. But we have to deal with the pain long enough that we let someone get close enough to just go, bink. There you go. That's all it took. We just have to press down this little lever and go, bink. It's that easy to overcome an offense. Or on the snare, you just grab the little clip and release. It's easier than a car seat. Car seats are complicated. They are. You just release it and you go, bink, you're free. Some animals found in traps and snares are caught so loosely they could walk right out of them. There's nothing holding them there. But that first offense where they go, oh, something stopped me. Something came against me. Something's happening to me. I'm stopped. I'm not going any further, but I'm staying right here. I'm not moving another inch. I'm not backing up. I'm not going forward. I'm just stuck, and I'm staying here. And some of you have been stuck in offenses for decades. You've been stuck in a place in life because of an offense that came against you years and years and maybe a lifetime ago. I know because over the winter, God revealed one of these offenses to me that I'd been stuck in for 25 years. Of course, he worked it out in me, and I worked it out in me, and we got over that. We got through that. I think I'm through it. Not really. What trap or snare is holding you back right now in your life? What is keeping you from doing all that God has called you to do? It's unforgiveness. It's not letting things go. We're going to jump into the scripture. I love the scripture, but I hate it at the same time. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Do the math. And that's not per year or per lifetime, that's per day, per offense per day. I think it comes up to 449. No. Becky says no. I'm way wrong. It's what? 490. Shoot, I was so close. I didn't work the problem out on paper before, just so you know, I don't have a wrong answer written down. 490 is what it is, all. How many times have you forgiven those that have sinned against you, who have trespassed, who have caused offense? So we have this great slogan in America culture. Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. Meaning I will never let it happen more than twice. If it happens twice, I will write you off. Until forevertum. I might have made that one up. But God says, forgive 490 times per offense, per day, per person. Who has that much time to offend me? Meaning, let bygones be bygones. Let tomorrows be tomorrows and yesterdays be yesterdays. But live for the moment you're in, and you don't have time. to be offended. You don't have time to hold grudges. You don't have time to harbor unforgiveness in your life and let it begin to rot you from the inside out. Because all you do when you hold unforgiveness in yourself is you harbor bitterness, anger, destruction, rage. It's all just building and festering. It's gross. And it's eating you alive. It's eating everything that God placed inside of you and devouring and destroying. Which if we read God's word, he tells us in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he doesn't care if he kills you in an instant or in a second-by-second harboring of offense. He doesn't care how he does it. He just wants you dead. And he just wants your joy stolen. And he wants your peace stolen. And he wants your family life stolen. And he wants your workplace stolen so that you're not giving God glory, but that you go in and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to hold offense against you. If you look around the hillsides, all over the valley, I got to go for a short drive here sometime this last week out into a little bit of the burn. And if you notice, some of it already has grass this tall, bright green against the black char. I believe it was the 10th of August the fire started. And correct me if I'm wrong. Feel free to do that. So not 30 days later, the grass is already six inches tall. But if you look at some of the other places, they're not black, they're brown. Because even the things that were black burned up in them. Because those pieces of earth harbored the flame longer. Let it burn longer and hotter. Let it destroy more so that new growth can't come back immediately. Why? Because they harbored the offense of the fire for a longer period of time so it did more damage. So it's going to take a longer period of time for regeneration to shoot forth out of the ground. But some of the hillside just said, okay, the fire's coming, it's going to hurt, it's going to burn, but we're just going to let it blow on by and we're going to rebuild and regrow. And already you see the new growth shooting up through it, bright, brilliant, green, ready to go back to work. Why? Because it didn't harbor the offense. It knew it was coming. The Word of God tells us you're going to be offended. People are coming against you. Satan is coming against you to offend you. So what we do with that offense is what matters. Whether we harbor it and keep it in, or whether we just let it come and blow on by. And we know it's going to destroy some things in its path, but we know greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. With Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome this offense. I can take a little hit and have a little damage and blow off the dust and the ashes and turn green again. I didn't wear green on purpose. It just fit in right there. But what do you do with that offense? Sometimes when people are trapping, they put bait out. The Word of God talks about the bait of the world that will be set before us to attract us, to draw us to a snare or a trap. Is the Word of God a lamp unto your feet? Is it a light unto your path? Does it govern your choices in your family, in your marriage, in your raising of your children, in your workplace, how you conduct yourself as an employee or an employer, in the church place, how you conduct yourself as a brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, how you conduct yourself in a restaurant when the service is terrible? How you conduct yourself in the grocery store when the service is terrible? What governs your life and your choices? Because if you're only governed by God's Word on Sunday morning, you're in bad shape. You're in trouble. It's 1 out of 7 days is not near enough to have God's light shining before you, governing your choices and your decisions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a promise of God's Word. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. Some of us in our spiritual lives have looked like this charred hillside and have looked like it for a long time. God says, in me, in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation. The new has come. In a couple of months, these hills are going to be bright green again. Well, most of them. Some parts of them. God says, all I need you to do is forgive so I can forgive you. So I can make you new. I'm willing, I'm ready, and I'm able. But will you choose to lay down your offenses and give forgiveness so that I can forgive you? So your homework this week is find forgiveness and give it to those who deserve it, and to ask forgiveness from those you need to ask it, including God Almighty. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray real quick, and I'm going to invite Pastor Kelly to come close us out. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. God, that you have chosen freely, God, to forgive us, to cancel our debts, God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Father, we just receive your forgiveness today. God, of all our offenses, God, of all our trespasses, God, of our sins against you. And Father, we receive your forgiveness today, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you would send us out, Father, into our community and our homes. God, to be your light shining. God, as your word comes alive in us, God, as we are your light to the world. Father, use us for your glory. God, use us to make your name known as great. Father, we just thank you for your outstretched hand before us. And God, we ask that this word, God, would come alive in those gathered here today. Father, in Jesus' name, amen.